You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Let's begin with a Hail Mary and get right into our broadcast. Ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that we are in a spiritual battle? Do you believe that? Do you believe that we're on a spirit, that we are right in the midst of a spiritual battle? Absolutely, right? The importance of fighting these battles shoulder to shoulder is that we have to know the truth, that God is for us, and Satan is against us. In the battle for our mind, the clearer we are about the truth of God's goodness and about Satan's evil intentions, the more we will be able to resist the distractions that block us from God. If there were someone in your life who repeatedly helped you, encouraged you, and sought nothing but the best for you, how would you treat that person? You'd want to honor him, you'd want to spend time with them, you'd want to help tell other people about this individual. It would be very hard, if not impossible, to turn you against him, because you know deep in your heart that this person loves you and has your best interests at heart. Well, this is exactly how it is with our Heavenly Father. He is on our side. He wants us to know his love, to seek his grace, and to walk in his light. And when sin separated us from him, he sent his Son Jesus to rescue us by his death in our place. Jesus restored our fellowship and communion with our Father. And even now, we're not alone. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Yes, lives in every one of you. Did you hear that noise? I don't know what that was, but anyways, we're going to carry on. The Holy Spirit lives in all of us, and the Holy Spirit is there to encourage us, to guide us, and to help us stay close to the Father. And by contrast, where God is for us, Satan is against us. As the father of lies and the master of deception, Satan is a thief who steals, kills, and destroys, just as he did with our first parents, and just as he tried to do with Jesus. He will misrepresent the truth and water down the realities of God. And then, after having done his damage, he will try to weasel out of any blame, urging us instead to accuse God or each other. How often do people say, how can God allow so many terrible things to happen, like war, murder, and poverty? But the truth is that God doesn't cause any of these things. This kind of twisted thinking disregards the fact that we live in a sinful world, that human choice is behind every sin, and that we have a spiritual enemy who wants to destroy our faith. Never doubt that God is for you. Satan is the enemy. He has no love for us, no concern for our well-being. As Scripture says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. James 1. So since God is good, it's logical to assume that he pours millions of good thoughts into our minds every day. Thoughts of love, kindness, goodness, courage, and blessing. Scripture teaches us that we love God. Why? Because God loved us first. And God confirms this love by all the good that he does for us. On the other hand, the evil one sends us a barrage of negative, derogatory, divisive, and self-centered thoughts every day. We are tempted to become angry, disillusioned, cynical, and resentful. There are even times when we feel as if our minds are held captive by these negative thoughts and that the positive ones don't stand a chance. Now, hear me out. If God is all-powerful, and if he is behind all the positive thoughts, we might ask why or how the devil can get such an upper hand. You thought about that? The answer lies in the way that the lies of Satan and the cares of this world distract us from God and move us to take our eyes off Jesus and cause us to grab a hold of Satan's lies. Over time, these distractions appear again and again. They build up strongholds of deceptions in our minds. This is why it's vital that we learn how to discern the thoughts that come to us in the course of each day. God wants us to test everything and keep the good while resisting and rejecting whatever pushes us away from him. If we could just learn how to judge our thoughts and discern their influence, we would be far less distracted and far more focused on Jesus. In this corporate world, businesses manage inventory according to a principle called FIFO. First in, first out. In the spiritual life, the key principle is G-I-S-O. God in, Satan, and all his thoughts out. So here is a three-step process to help us put that principle into action. Every morning when you wake up, commit yourself to Jesus and invite him and his positive, loving thoughts into your mind. Confess your faith that every good and perfect gift comes from God and that every negative thought has its roots in the schemes of the devil. Yield yourself to God and he will fill you with his good and holy intentions. And during the day, whenever you face a situation that calls for a response or whenever new thoughts come into your mind, ask yourself, are these thoughts upbuilding, or are they divisive? Are they leaving me in a positive state of mind, or are they just filling me with selfishness, anger, or sadness? We're quick to jump, right, brothers and sisters? We're quick if something doesn't work our way, or someone butts in line, or cuts us off on the highway, or, you know, just anything that slights us. We're quick. This is our problem. So once we catch ourselves, say, wait a minute, is it going to be that big a deal? Not really. We have to put things in perspective. As soon as you sense that source of these thoughts, that who does he think he is jumping in front of me? Wait a minute, you know, I've been here longer than you have. Take a moment and remember they are a thought. Get rid of the thought. Allow the positive ones to occupy your mind and take captive of the negative ones. That is, rid yourself of the thoughts that drag you down and distract you. This is what it means to dwell on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable in Philippians chapter 4. We can't do it alone, my friends. We cannot. As with every other aspect of Christianity, this process of discernment is possible only with God's help. We are engaged in a spiritual battle against a fierce and powerful enemy who wants to distract us and destroy our faith. That's why Paul urges us to be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his power. Even when much of the burden appears to be on your shoulders, know that you are not alone. Every time you seek God, whether at Mass or in prayer, or as you are going about your daily routine, try to stay open to the good and pure thoughts that the Holy Spirit is sending you. Our connection with Jesus is so critical, and that's why we need to receive him as often as possible. Jesus gives us life. He renews us. He empowers us with his grace whenever we seek him. The evil one desires to cause discord and hostility among men and women and families by attacking the mind. He is the accuser of our brethren. He loves to turn brethren themselves into accusers of each other. Whenever we experience these negative accusing thoughts, especially when they're really strong, we should be alert and take steps to resist them. And it needn't be anything elaborate. Simply calling on the name of Jesus or blessing ourselves with holy water can silence these voices. Making the sign of the cross or speaking aloud a verse of scripture may be just as effective. God is so much more powerful than the devil, and except in rare cases permitted for special reasons by God, Satan will flee whenever we call upon our Heavenly Father. So let's take time every day to be with Jesus in prayer. And throughout the day, let's try to yield ourselves to God's goodness and holiness. This is the best way to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. It's the best way for us to be filled with his love, his blessing, his comfort, his assurance. It's the best way to resist Satan's attempts to deceive us and to win the battle for our minds. And it's the best way to resist the everyday distractions of life. Our God loves us so much. He wants the best for us, and as we let his good thoughts reign in our minds, we will become better at keeping our eyes on him, and we will be more willing to do great things for him. God wants everyone he created, every human being and every angel, to love him and obey him. This is the only way everyone can live in peace and happiness. God knows what's good for each and every one of us. He fashioned the universe to be conducive to the good he created each one of us to experience. If any human or any angel chooses not to obey God, even in what seems to be trivial matters, someone will suffer because of that refusal. That's why we must obey. God has a plan in which he allows each one of us to represent him to everyone else. Are you a good singer? Well, that's a gift from God. He is the master composer of music and song and wants you to share part of it with him. This world goes out of its way to make the music you sing seem part of you. God gave you the talent to sing. But you are not the master composer. In this world, your music becomes a too much of you and not of God, enough of God. And your music fails to achieve what God wants to achieve through you. The bottom line is this: you are meant to be controlled by somebody. but it should be God, not the devil or the world. But God doesn't really control you. If you succeed in learning to love God, you will gladly do His will because you love Him and trust Him. There is no coercion from God. God does not want to force you to comply with His will. The world, secular governments, and Lucifer have to coerce you every step of the way because evil never engenders respect or obedience. And so laws are made to cover everything you do. We are starting to experience that now. And in the end, God will confine the defiant and the disobedient to hell, where they can no longer mislead others. This is far different than the punishment we receive in the world, which is meant to wake us up to the evil we are a part of. But if it is God's way of dealing with those who reject God and refuse obedience, ultimate justice has got to be the best way. The three little precious children at Fatima were shown an apparition of hell on July 13th, 1917. The earth appeared to open up and expose a deep chasm of blazing fire, billowing over like a pot of water brought to a rolling boil. The children could see the forms of human souls and fallen angels in hell. The humans were simply carried along with the flames, tossed here and there without displaying any sense of equilibrium or balance. All souls were hideous to look at, but the fallen angels were even more horrible than the humans. According to the seers, the demons took the form of atrocious beasts, black as coal. The vision was so frightening to the children that God only allowed it to last a very short time. I think the vision of hell shown to the three children is an accurate message from God. Hell is a place of punishment for those who contradict the whole reason God created them. They should live fully obedient to God because they have free will and refuse to comply with it. Their refusal would destroy everything God had provided for in His heavenly kingdom. So the disobedient just float around in the flames of hell. When we freely give our love and obedience, it is because we firmly are convinced that this is what God desires, and it is correct to be this way. God does not need laws and external force to compel obedience. This would be demeaning to our free nature. God fixes us with something like an instinct so we never would want to sway away from total compliance from His will, with His will. This means that there are no police in heaven. There are no armies, no weapons of war. None of the implements of coercion are present in eternity. On the internet, there are hundreds of YouTube videos of flash mobs of people supposedly gathering together in a public place with their instruments to have a spontaneous concert. If you haven't seen any yet, look up flash mob on the internet and you'll find more references than you can imagine. Then translate what you see in this world to what you might see in heaven. In the next life, you might find yourself in a scenic area and sit down to rest. You are near a settlement of some human being. Perhaps you've not met them yet, but you know who they are. They are among those God accepted into His heavenly kingdom, and they are as happy and content as they could possibly be. And suddenly you hear music, maybe a single instrument, but you recognize it in the melody. More instruments are added as the local people join in. And you, my dear brothers and sisters, are treated to the best and most wholesome music their race created. And you are welcome there, and you join in with them. Renewing their historic music helps you to understand who these people are and why they are as dear to God as you are. And after that, you join in with them and you share your thoughts with them. You would speak to their lineage going all the way back to Adam and Eve, and you will meet the composers of their music, if they made it into heaven, that is. And you will be able to understand whatever they say. There is a master language in heaven. I'm sure you will find this infinitely better than the best moments you've had in this life. So my advice to all of you, and to me as well, is this. Keep the faith in this life. Beware of Lucifer and stay obedient to God. When each of us appears before Peter at the pearly gates, may each one of us hear his welcome rather than see his hand wave us off due to our disobedience to such easy commands to love and obey God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Brothers and sisters, Jesus of Nazareth, in a conversation between Jesus and Pontius Pilate on Good Friday, revealed two ways of looking at reality. Jesus of Nazareth said he came to bear witness to the truth. Pilate sarcastically responded, "What is truth?" The idea of truth, a truth that applies to everyone, a truth that points to what is right and wrong and illuminates the path to human happiness, was not something Pilate cared about. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent and that the real reason the Jewish authorities were accusing him was because they were envious. But the truth of Jesus' innocence didn't matter. Pilate had his own truth. He wanted to save his career. The Jewish leaders were threatening him, saying, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend." Pilate feared a riot would break out, and he had to protect his reputation before Caesar's authority. So, to advance his own interests, he appeased the crowds and sent an innocent man away to be crucified. Without truth as a compass, we make our choices based on fears, based on our passion, on our emotions and whims. We do whatever we want without asking the question of truth, without asking whether what we want is good or whether it will lead us to lasting happiness and to becoming the kind of person we want to be. Pilate's "what is truth" philosophy of life may be attractive to some in our modern world, but we must remember that truth is not an abstract idea. Truth is a person, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, the whole of God's truth has been made manifest. After all, Jesus is not merely one of the world's many moral teachers. He is God, became man. He doesn't simply show us a way to God. He is the way. And he doesn't just reveal truth about God. He is the truth. He came into the world to bear witness to the truth so that we might know how to be happy in this life and live with him forever in heaven. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. So here's the crucial question every Christian must face. Will we truly follow Jesus as the way, truth, and life and allow his teachings to shape our lives? Or are we going to follow in the footsteps of Pilate, who preferred to make up his own truth? So think about that. Don't be conformed to this world, my friends. If Jesus is the truth, it changes the way we view the popular opinions and philosophies we encounter in our life, in our world today. And like the early Christians who lived in a pagan world that always competed for attention, we too face a constant battle of how we look at reality, what love is, what makes us happy, where we come from, and where, especially, where are we going, and what is life all about? Well, brothers and sisters, it is a specific way of looking at the world that rejects objective truth and opposes Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And it is being ceaselessly promoted in today's world. Before becoming Pope, Cardinal Ratzinger said, "Today, having a clear faith based on the creed of the church is often labeled as fundamentalism, whereas relativism, that is, letting oneself be tossed here and there, carried by every wind of doctrine, seems the only attitude that can cope with modern times. We are building a dictatorship of relativism that does not recognize anything as definitive and whose ultimate goal consists of solely of one's own ego and desires. I am the way, the truth, and the life," John 14:6. So, as Christians, we don't need to give in to the worldly pressures. We don't need to be conformed to this world. We can be transformed through the renewal of our mind, through our Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, consider the dangers we face in being conformed to this world. How can we take St. Paul's advice of being transformed? First, a disciple renews his mind through regular reading of Scripture. The Bible is no ordinary book. It's inspired by God. It is God's word in the language of men. Those divine words written thousands of years ago reach across the centuries to continue to touch people's hearts and minds today. When we read the Bible, we aren't reading an old, irrelevant text. We are encountering God speaking to us personally in this moment. Consider what the church scripture and the saints teach us about the power of the Bible in our lives. Don't be conformed to the world. Second, renew your mind by what Jesus teaches us through the Catholic Church. What a tremendous gift Jesus has left us. Take the time to learn what Jesus is teaching us through the Catholic Church, through Bible study, through good Catholic books. And third, be careful what we put into your mind, what you watch on TV, what you listen to, what you read, and what you look at. We are made in such a way that what we put into our mind changes us. It shapes us, how we look at reality and perceive what's good. It's important for us to ask ourselves, does the media I take in reflect what is true, good, and beautiful? Or do I just watch shows that fill my mind with vision of life, beauty, love, sexuality? That is contrary to what Jesus teaches about these matters. Brothers and sisters, take time for reflection. Take time to spend time with Jesus. Don't be conformed to the world. Whatever you put in your mind, remember what I said. It will change you. Make sure you're working on these changes step by step, day by day, little by little. But believe me, you will find peace. You will face transformation, genuine transformation. So my friends, being transformed is the right way through our Lord Jesus Christ. So find time to fill your mind with good things like the Bible and the Catechism. There are many good and faithful Catholic books and devotional texts. And by reading and taking in good Catholic content, your mind can slowly be conformed to the mind of Christ. That's why St. Paul exhorts us, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Imagine how differently we would think and live if we put away some of the music, the media, and shows that constantly affect our thoughts, desires, and emotions, and replace it with images and words that elevated our minds to consider the things of God. Wow, what a different world we would have, right, brothers and sisters? So think about how the worldly thinking has creeped into your life. Try thinking about having and trying to have the mind of Christ. With that in mind, my friends, have a blessed week. And thank you so much for joining us this afternoon here on The Father's Quilt. God bless you. I've got no-